The jury in the News of the World hacking trial is deliberating this morning, London time, for the last few hours of what's been one of the most remarkable legal marathons in recent history. The jury is still there because it has to decide on bribery charges against the former royal correspondent Clive Goodman and the former editor Andy Coulson, who has already been found guilty of plotting to hack phones. But Coulson's successor, Rebecca Brooks, her husband and her assistant, were cleared of all charges. The jury delivered their verdicts after 8 days of deliberations. Rupert Murdoch shut down the News of the World in disgrace in July 2011. Coulson, who was forced to resign as British Prime Minister David Cameron's media chief over the scandal, now faces jail. Peter Jukes has reported from the courtroom on every day of the trial, blogging, live-tweeting and preparing a book that's due out in a few weeks. I asked him if he was surprised by the verdicts.
Not really. I think the only verdict we were all sure about throughout the trial, and this is, you know, a variety of journalists, was Coulson. That was the one, you know, case where, of all the various permutations, I never heard anybody say, oh, I think Coulson's going to be found not guilty.
This is Andy Coulson, who became the editor after Rebecca Brooks and then went on to be the press secretary for David Cameron, the current Prime Minister.
Exactly. In a way, the most important political figure, because he went, you know, supposedly through some kind of vetting to become into number 10. So, you know, that he, in a way, it's a bigger political story about judgment. And in terms of evidence, Brooks was editor of News of the World from 2000 to, you know, the beginning of 2003. There is very little evidence surviving from that time. All the emails, virtually all deleted. But under Coulson's editorship, you had the arrest of Glenn Mulcair, the private investigator, and Clive Goodman, the royal reporter, in 2006. Supposed rogue reporter, and the police had call evidence for about a year. So we know the 1,500 hacks from News International and from Mulcair, and there's really nothing much from Brooks's time. There's no smoking emails.
But you mentioned the word deleted about the emails. I mean, how many emails were deleted, and how significant is that?
Well, there are 4 million deleted.
4 million?
Yes, I mean, yes, but they had about 20 million on the server. But yeah, most emails from that era have gone. One of the reasons this trial happened is that because of an employment dispute in 2007, some lawyers saved some emails about Clive Goodman and Coulson. And so it's called the Harbottle and Lewis files. And those were the source of the police investigation, and they were just stored elsewhere. There's no, you know, and the problem is, you know, an absence of evidence is just evidence of absence. There's no, you cannot base a case if there isn't evidence.
So what does the acquittal of Rebecca Brooks and her husband and her assistant tell us, and the conviction of Andy Coulson? What can we draw out of all this about News Corporation, about the whole operation?
Well, I think, you know, we've got to remember that there are five other guilty pleas. We have Dan Evans and four other journalists in News of the World. We can say quite clearly that at least from 2003 to 2006, there was industrial scale hacking in News of the World. We can also say, and you know, there are investigations ongoing about the cover up, that it was clearly, and the judge said, even the cover up of the cover up attempt to hide all this in 2006. When Clive Goodman and Mulcair were arrested. And those files, there were 5,500 victims on Mulcair's notes. The police said there were 8 people targeted. So we now know that for some reason, the proximity of police to a powerful media organization, political embarrassment, it was covered up.
Do you see these verdicts as in some way a failure by the Crown Prosecution Service, either because they shouldn't have brought the charges in the first place, or they failed to marshal the evidence that would have brought them home?
Well, I mean, this is the British, I'm sure this is similar in Australia. If everybody, you know, if some cases weren't subjective and circumstantial, they'd never make it to court. That's what justice does. It's in the public interest to evaluate the evidence and come and to be absolutely sure of guilt. When it comes to Brooks, I mean, the prosecution case was she must have known Millie Dowler. The voicemail was published in her paper. She was editor of. She, you know, Mulcair was employed for £100,000 a year. But she should have known. The jury just didn't believe she must have known. And that is what, you know, justice is all about. The jury, these 11 anonymous men and women, make that final judgment.
If she was guilty, she was guilty. If she was innocent, what does it say about her competence as an executive and an editor?
Well, let's just abstract this for a moment. If you're in a criminal case and situation like this, what's the expression? It's better to be a fool than a knave. And, you know, not knowing, saying I should have checked my sources, you know, this issue of payments to a military official. But she said, I didn't ask who the source was. I didn't check who Mulcair was. I didn't read the paper when he appeared as a private investigator in the News of the World. You know, that is completely believable, but it's not very competent as Britain's top flight editor of the two top tabloids.
Final question. Your book that you've been writing, you've attended every session, I think. Your book is still called on its website Title Embargoed. Can you break that embargo now?
I can in Australia. Say hi to my son who's in Melbourne, so I'll break it for Australia's sake. It's called Beyond Contempt. And that's, I've kept the title embargo because it slightly sounds like it's saying beneath contempt that I have some judgment on the defendants. I don't. I've got to know and quite like some of these people in court. But the issues of contempt, of being able to report such a complex trial, of the defendants themselves talking about a free press but completely all over the press reporting and trying to stop it, is just a fascinating intersection of media and law.
The author and blogger Peter Jukes speaking to me from London.